guaranteed to make your day a little brighter. Money back.
Money back?
Well, they're not paying for it, are they?
No.
All right.
That's Sean, and I'm Carrie. Sean used to be a cop, but now he's not. And I write books for a living.
She does.
And
she is New York Times and international best-selling author. And
that makes me have cred.
The most incredible woman ever.
Oh, Sean's the most incredible woman ever, too. Anyways, we start every podcast with a little random thought. Sometimes in the car.
Sometimes in bed.
Sometimes in the kitchen.
Sometimes in the restaurant.
Sometimes in the woods.
Wherever we are.
We're random. And then we get a little bit more intellectual.
Sometimes.
But not always. With a dog tip for life, where our dogs join us, and also a writing tip of the pod, or
that's
vice
right.
versa. Maybe.
That's vice versa, but that's okay.
All right, man. We're random and cool.
So thanks for listening. We really hope you enjoy it.
The notes that go with this podcast are on my blog, CarrieJonesBooks.blog.
And there's all kinds of other interesting stuff there, too, isn't there? Love.
Pictures of Sean.
That's not what I meant. Not that a minute ago, I forgot.
Hey. Hey, Ferrari.
Hey.
We're in the car having a random thought.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
You just told me we were going to talk about the American border.
We just came back into the border of the United States of America. Coming from the... Oh my God! Oh my God!
You'll never get it.
Oh, what, bears!
Turn the damn...
I don't know how to get it.
There they are right there. What do you mean? Hit video.
Okay, we're starting over our random thought because the last random thought had to get stopped because...
You didn't continue on the old one?
No, it just cut off the recording. We're in the car.
That was awesome.
And we just saw four baby cubs.
Bear cubs.
Bear cubs.
Black bear cubs.
Run across the road.
Four of them in a row. That's
there were
crazy.
Three together in a pack, and then there was a late cub.
And a little.
And they were so little and so cute. Yeah. Oh my gosh, we saw no mama bear though.
She'll be along.
Well, there's a big old truck going that way. I hope he doesn't go kill the mama bear.
Well, they just crossed the road. They're not going to turn around. Oh, mama bear. Maybe mama bear went first.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe it's bear season up here.
Oh, my gosh.
I have no idea.
I feel like we need to go back and protect them.
No, we're not going back.
Don't eat. Oh, we're doing random thoughts.
Oh, my word. Turn that thing off. Anyways, that was great.
So, we just passed a political sign, which is why I made that noise. Anyways, what we were going to say was what?
We're talking about the border crossing.
Yeah, we just came back from Canada. We're barely into Maine. And it's really interesting because when you're in Canada, you have cell data.
Cell service.
You have roads that are smooth.
Yeah.
You have no trees on either side of the road. It's like rolling fields.
There's a lot of trees, but not like this because it's farmland.
Yeah, but then you cross into the U.S. and you instantly have a really bad road. Trees that are almost claustrophobic. And you have zero cell phone service. Like, it says
exactly
no service.
Zero. But we did have four cute little black bears.
Which was the best thing ever.
Yeah,
oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I think they're okay.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be fine, love.
Okay, so Sean did not enjoy our border crossing experience, despite the fact that we're two white people. We haven't had the best time coming back into the States lately.
You might want to explain what you mean by that statement.
Well, I'm just saying
that... Are we supposed to have an easier time than anything?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Well,
you know,
because
we have the privilege of being white, right? Like, we're like, oh, we don't have to deal with the racism that happens. We're native speaking English people, you know, we're like...
Well, I'm glad of all that because the last two times we've come across the border, they've been dicks.
They've been such dicks.
And
so I can't imagine what it's like for people who aren't white like us. You know what I mean? Like, it must be so horrible and hard.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Do you want to say why they were dicks?
Their attitudes just suck.
Yeah. Maybe they're having a hard time being border agents.
Maybe they are. It's got to be a crappy job right now under this administration.
Yeah.
There.
But whenever we go to Canada, though, they're super nice. The border agents on the Canadian side
are... Oh, when we're going into Canada.
Yeah, they're like, hey, hi. Oh, you're a writer? That's cool. And, like, they're always, like, chill, you know?
The first 20 times we did it coming back, it was okay.
Yeah, but recently they've been...
The last 2 weeks.
They've been poopers.
Man.
Poopers. Really? So, yeah, what I was saying is that, yeah, if this is how it is being someone who isn't getting, like, that bias, you know? What are you doing? Oh, sorry.
That's all right. I just had to cough. I didn't want to cough right in the microphone.
It must be way worse. The end.
I can't even imagine.
I can't imagine either.
I can't even imagine. It's crazy.
It's really, really weird.
I feel badly. But anyways, we saw four little black bears.
And they were so cute.
They were super cute.
I'm so worried about them, though.
They're fine. They're trying to get across the border.
They're like, I'm tired of this country.
They're going into Canada.
It's enough.
That's why there wasn't one mama, but then there was two or three.
Hey, we're continuing our random thought in the house right now, because after we made that, we learned that there was a journalist, Ben Watson, who was coming back to the United States after doing a piece in Europe, and a border agent at, a U.S. Customs and Border Protection official prevented him from getting in until he admitted that he was a journalist and therefore he wrote propaganda.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that freaked me the heck out.
I know, that's effed up.
And we just wanted to say that we had recorded that random thought about our white people experience entering into the U.S. just from Canada after a day trip before we read that. And, I don't know. Sean, do you have anything to say about that, man?
Yeah, it pisses me off. Are you kidding me? That guy should be punched in the face.
There we go. A little angry.
No. Wait, listen, I was thinking about it when we were listening just now, reviewing our first random thought. Yeah. I was thinking, yeah, we're white, and I'm a white man, and you're a white woman. But yeah. For me, I'm a white man. And you know how angry I get when... Like if we get pulled over for a non-reason?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because he used to be a cop. He knows the reasons. Really well.
Yeah. So, what I was saying was, I can't even... I would end up... 100% I would end up in jail. If I was some sort of a minority.
Yeah, like an ethnic or a racial minority.
Yeah, I don't know how to... I would not know how to contain myself. I can barely do it now.
I know, you really
in certain can. Circumstances.
And I think that it makes it harder for you in a certain respect, because you know, like, say you get pulled over by a state trooper, you know all the rules, because you've been a state trooper.
I haven't been a state trooper.
But. I mean, you've been a police officer, sorry. You've been a police officer, so you know when they're being jerks, and you know what it is to be a decent one, and you know...
That's right.
And so, and then if you think about how they're being a jerk to you, a fellow big old white man, street white man, you know what I mean? Like, it,
oh yeah, I can't. I couldn't handle it. I would. Yeah. I mean, I would definitely be spending time in jail.
Yeah, or you'd be dead.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, and it's so unfair that the rules are not fair.
Yeah.
You know, and I know totally that we're just white people talking.
Yeah, this is not
possibly.
This is not a white savior complex. No, I promise you.
Like, we can't be empathetic enough because we can't put ourselves in that exact situation. But when you think about it, just what we've seen in the last couple of months, the difference, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. It's insane.
On a more positive note.
Yeah.
I have always wanted to see Bigfoot, like, and capture, like a photo of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And Sean is always like, oh, I can't believe how the people don't get a real film. Oh, I don't believe. And I couldn't get a film of four bear cubs crossing the road in front of us on a like deserted two-lane highway. So I have so much empathy for the people who are like, I did see Bigfoot, I did, I just failed.
You did add a little legitimacy to that inability to be able, totally unprepared, to arm a camera of any sort.
That's so bad.
It's just all processing time with your brain, you know.
I know.
It's impossible. When they're moving like that. Yeah. And there was just bears. If Bigfoot exists and he had some sort of intelligence, he would be probably even faster because he would be doing it.
He wouldn't be a little baby bear.
Right.
He has a big stride. And so, yeah, we're going to try not to be so judgmental about those
bears. Oh, I didn't say all that, but...
Man.
All right, we're going to get to the writing tip. One moment.
All right. Writing tip of the pod. So now that we've had that ambling white people take on everything from Bigfoot to customs and border patrol agents, let's get to the writing part of the podcast.
Oh, there is one.
Yeah, there is one.
Sweet.
And it is, let's write a bestseller.
Let's do it.
Because I apparently
decided
I need to do that right now because I need some money. So there are a lot of different ways to write a bestseller, but three of the most common features of almost every bestseller are these. What are they, Sean?
Number one. You have to engage the reader. Number two, you have to keep them hooked. Gotta keep the hook in there. Really? The fish will get off. Number three, make them loyal.
Good job, buddy.
Little followers.
Yes, not to you, but to your characters. So that's easier said than done, right? Maybe not. If you think about what your story's about, can you pitch that idea in less than 50 words? Less than 25? Can you gel its essence down into that quick pitch? Because that's what high concept is.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
I can't hardly formulate a thought in less than 25 words, let alone pitch a whole story. That was not Carrie laughing. We had our dishwasher got backed up or something.
You got a snort laugh.
That was Carrie laughing the whole entire time.
Oh, shoot. Okay, so high concept.
And that is not an innuendo.
Not as a
she swears.
I promise. High concept is a really, like, the big question here, right?
Right.
And so that's, what's your dramatic question? And, like, in every book, you think, hey, is that, well, not every book, but here's examples. Like, one, will the kid survive the evil wizard? Two, will the young reporter fall in love with Mr. Bondage? Ooh. Three, will a resourceful young adult survive a pixie apocalypse? Those are your dramatic questions in your high concept bestseller, right?
Yeah.
And you have to let the reader know from the very beginning what your story's about. Will Harry Potter survive the dark wizard Voldemort? Will Eleanor and Park fall in love? Who will die in this, the latest John Green or Nicholas Sparks novel? Will Carrie survive the podcast or get some trolls this episode? Those are your high dramatic context.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm really hung up on the fact that you gave me a new name. Well, anybody that knows our history knows that a young reporter is you. And now you call
me Mr. Bondage. No, I told you that was being stuck. No. Oh, man. I was an editor. I wasn't even in the newspaper world when I fell in love with you.
Wait a minute.
That was my past.
Was right. Is that to the famous book, The Sea Reporter?
No, not that one, but there's a...
Oh, okay. Hey, let's move on, because I've distracted you.
Yes, don't move your chair, because it makes noise in the podcast, man. All right, so two, keeping the reader hooked. You want to read about that, baby?
This is where the obstacles and complications come in. Meaning, this is the hard part. How do we keep our heroin challenged?
Heroin, not heroin like the drug.
I was going to say, add some fentanyl.
No.
How do we keep our heroin challenged? What is in his or her way? Will her big dramatic question change into a new dramatic question?
Yeah.
But is it going to be just as big as the other big one if it changes into a new one?
Yeah, it's going to have to be even bigger.
Even bigger, right?
Because you want those obstacles and complications to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's my kind of book. But if they die at the end, I get really upset.
You like happy endings.
That's right. I do.
So the third part. I don't know what's wrong with
I was gonna say somebody's name, just like, but I can't because I'm afraid.
Oh, you will. All right.
Well, he got arrested at a salon down south in Florida. And I was
then all the Patriots people will hate us.
Oh, there you go. Oh, she always rats us out. It's never me. Anyways,
the third element into making a bestseller
is making emotion.
Sean does that all the time.
I don't emote very much.
You emote so hard. Your emotions like ripple off of you like invisible waves.
Only when I'm angry.
Especially disdain and hate.
Okay.
All right. So the other element that is the third final element is that we have to have a character who responds to things emotionally. That's what makes the story resonate. Our character already has a want, right? They have that big question. They have complications to that want and that question. But more than that, the hero has to have intense emotions and reactions to those complications. Like if they're just like, oh, my dad died. I best go on my journey now. You know, like that's nothing. What? I don't know. You know what I mean? Why are you looking at me?
Because.
Is that a stupid?
No, not at all. I was just about to say, I resemble that paragraph.
You do resemble that.
But then I was like, then you threw out that example.
Yeah.
And that made me think, but not all the time. Sometimes I'm pretty, really. Sometimes I'm really like, if it was a number line, I'm right at zero when it comes to emotion.
Babe,
what?
You pretend you don't have emotion.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that's psychotic.
I know, you pretend you're psychotic, but you're not actually psychotic. You just
pretend. In case I ever have to get charged with murder or anything.
So no, you're
like, get an insanity defense.
You're like 0000 because like many white males of your generation, you repress a lot of your emotion, right? And you're like, I'm not supposed to cry. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to go in the other room and hit the wall rather than cry, right? Like, so, and you push everything down. So then it bubbles up like this big old 10.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So you're pretending that you're at a 0, but you're really at a 4, and then you're at a 5, and then you're at a 6. But you pretend to be at a 0. And because you're so busy pretending and being inauthentic with your emotions, that's why it bursts out and explodes and you get into trouble.
Hey, that was a good theory. So but my number line went to 100.
All right, we're going back to all other people. All right, so when Harry Potter has to dig deep and be brave, when he has to look in the mirror of desire and confront his deepest longings, when he has to face the wizard and know his friends might die, and on and on and on, he reacts emotionally and intensely, and the stakes of his decisions have emotional consequences that elevate the reader and incite empathy. And if it doesn't, when his emotions are flat, as they are in one of the book, people criticize that book. They stop liking Harry Potter, and they get all cranky.
Oh, did that happen?
Yes.
Oh, what book was it?
I'm not going to talk.
Well, it wasn't like the last one.
It was very close to me.
Oh, man.
So anyway, mistake. I'm not saying it's a mistake.
No, me neither.
It had an authorial intention, but it definitely had that
drop in emotion.
Yeah, and that drop in the emotion definitely had that ripple effect with the readers. So when we feel really super connected to a character, we become loyal to that character.
Heck yeah.
And when we have that connection and loyalty, that book That's when it becomes something magical, and that's when it becomes oftentimes a bestseller.
And that's a fact, you know, because even though I can read a book and really enjoy it and feel the connection with the character, yeah. I don't remember any of them I've ever read as far as details right on this day. You know what I mean? So that makes me a poor reader or something probably. But I always have that connection, in, like especially like a series.
Yeah.
You know, like a character series that I really like, the airplane type of books.
Yeah, that makes sense, right?
I have a huge loyalty.
Right.
Actually.
I know.
And that has to be because of a character mm-hmm. attraction, you know, commonality probably.
Yeah, or, like he won't legit,
or perceived
he won't legit go into the airport and be like, oh, they don't have any new books about this person. I'm not even gonna get a book. And I'll be like,
that's right. I really
try something new magazine. For another poor author, and he'll grab a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
very frustrating.
That has multiple new authors in it.
Condense, the writing tip of the pod is that
the best books, the hook. My eyes are a little bad. I apologize to all of you folks out there.
Oh man,
it's just age. It's the best books hook the readers early, elevate the stakes, and make us connected to the character. And that's exactly what I was just trying to say.
Boom.
See, you said it in like 12 words and it took me 103. And I said I can't put a thought together in 25 or less, let alone a pitch.
Yeah, there you go.
So if you can do that, you're awesome. I just realized all our subject matter starts with the letter B.
Bigfoot.
Border agents.
And bestsellers.
Yeah. And how about what kind of book? That could be a book right there.
I know, that's what I was
at least say. A comic strip. Bigfoot trying to cross the border and getting all pissed off and just wrecking everybody.
And like,
like a Jack Link's yeah. beef jerky commercial where he's just a mean. He hates being picked on, so yeah. So it's got to be a Canadian Bigfoot trying to come into the United States. Or an American Bigfoot trying to return to the United States after visiting his girlfriend in Canada.
Oh my gosh, that's so adorable.
Yeah, I know.
All right, maybe we should write that.
It's supposed to be Dog Tip for Life. We don't have any dogs.
I do, right here. Ready? All dog right. Tip for Life is this. Sean just had a really goofy idea. Did I say, no, man, that's a really goofy idea?
She would have if we weren't.
No, recording. I wouldn't have.
No, she wouldn't
No, have. I wouldn't have. I just said yes to that idea, right?
Yeah.
You know why? Because when you say yes to ideas and then you give them those three big things from bestsellers, that's when you make a really cool book.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say no to the dumb ideas. Dogs don't say no to dumb ideas.
No, they definitely don't.
No, dogs embrace everything. They
yep.
embrace life. They embrace stupid ideas. They'll be like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to have that samosa.
The dog?
Yeah, and it might make me puke, but
he's
going to
have more of the samosa.
I'm going to enjoy that samosa while I'm gulping it down. And they embrace it. You know, you got to embrace those weird moments.
Mm-hmm.
And believe in Bigfoot. And believe you can make a bestseller.
Oh, you got to believe you can write a bestseller. I mean, if you want to, well... Or an award-winning novel, if that's what your intent is.
Yeah, that's right. And you can also embrace Bear Cub excitement. And
oh, you can't get away from that. But
you know?
It really was Bear Cubs. There was nothing funky going on in the car.
Yeah, you wanna be like a Bear Cub and not a border agent. How's that? That's a dog tip.
What, running?
No. Well, yeah.
Running all
yeah. Yeah. All right, if you're quiet for 1 second, I can make this make sense.
Not possible.
If you're a bear cub, you're exploring the world. Everything is new and exciting and cool and full of potential. Those bears ran like kittens across that road into a new part of the forest, and they were adorable. But if you are like the border agents that we recently met, which may not be all border agents, just the ones we recently interacted with, you are standing in a place, you are looking for failure, you are looking for judgment, and you are cranky as hell.
Yeah.
And that's not a dog way to be.
That's not a dog way to be. Not at all.
Dogs are happy when they can roam. Roam?
Me too.
Thinking of random things to write a best song.
We like to roam.
Are we going to end this now? Because I thought that was a good place to end it, but then you kept talking.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I have a habit. I have a problem with that sometimes. Let it rip, Tater Chip.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you. Hey, love. Now that people have blessed us with their time and listened to our podcast, what other little tidbits should we tell them?
Well, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Artist in the song is Night Owl by Broke for Free.
That sounds so 80s. Anyways, it's cool. I like it. Got anything else going on in your world?
All the writing tips are at carriejonesbooks.blog. I just released a book called In the Woods with Steve Waddell. It's creepy, it's a little horrifying, and it's a little romantic.
Ooh,
that's yeah, cool. And it's a summer buzz book from Publishers Weekly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else?
What else? I have a Patreon.
Oh, yeah. That's.
You can find us on social media.
The Patreon's a great way to read a book that's never been published by you.
Yes.
Only Patreon people get to read it, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Subscribers, I mean.
And you get special content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get special gifts, too, right?
I do. I send out art.
Carrie Jones paintings, which are all beautiful.
And books sometimes.
Yeah.
Signed.
Signed by me.
Sean.
Just kidding.
What do you want to tell people, honey bunny?
I don't know. Just thank you. Oh, thank you for listening.
Please like and subscribe and share.
Yeah, you said that at the beginning, but we can say it twice.
Can we say it 87 times so people really do?
They'll probably just shut it off after like the 80th one at least.
Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share.
No. And get out and live your life.
Yes.
No matter what.
The whole point of Dogs Are Smarter Than People in this podcast is to try to make your life a tiny bit better for at least 2 seconds, in which you're like, at least we're not them, buddy. At least we're not them.
That's all. That's a good. People always have that outlook. At least we're not them.